Welcome to Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Heimbuch. And if you are a visual storyteller with a love for all things wild, then you're in the right place. From conservation to creativity, from business to marketing, and everything in between, this podcast is for you, the conservation visual storyteller who is ready to make an impact. Let's dive in. Hey there, and welcome to this episode of Impact, the Conservation Photography Podcast. And Joe, good to see you.
Hello, hello. Good to see you too.
Cool. So this episode is an interesting one. We are diving into a concept that I sometimes hear, but I've actually seen very frequently on surveys. So I often will send out surveys to students, to audience members, to kind of just get a vibe of what people are struggling with or what they're thinking about or what they're concerned with so that I know what resources I want to create or what topics would be really helpful to talk about. And one of the things that I've seen come up is the topic of today's episode. And so Joe and I are kind of diving into this idea because in the next episode, we have a story that we're going to talk about that's a perfect example of what we're unpacking today. Does that sound good, Joe?
Mm-hmm. That sounds great. Let's talk about it.
Okay. So the topic that we're digging into are some of those insecurities and worries that easily pop up, especially as you are moving from enthusiastic photographer of nature and wildlife and anything that moves in front of your camera to trying to really be a more structured storyteller, to really move into conservation photography with a level of seriousness. And the idea of those things popping into your head, like, am I really a good enough photographer to make an impact in conservation photography? Or at what point do I need to get to be taken seriously as a conservation photographer or to feel like valid as a conservation photographer? So for instance, one of my coaching clients told me that they felt like they need to have a certain number of publications under their belt before they'll really feel like they're considered valid as a photographer. So it's almost like they're pretending to be an impactful conservation photographer until they have X number of whatever number they decide in their head makes them legit. And I've heard this come up often, especially in, like I mentioned, survey responses where, and I do this sometimes too, like my email list will randomly get emails from me being like, what's your biggest struggle right now? And I will email you back with my best piece of advice for it. And what I hear is different variations of, am I really good enough? How do I know if I'm good enough technical-wise, skill-wise, creative-wise, opportunity-wise, all of this to really be able to make a difference with my photography? It's a tough state of mind to be in.
It's very tough state of mind because you set up your own roadblock. So you've got enough roadblocks in life to keep you from moving forward for whatever it is that you're trying to achieve. And then somehow we manage to just then add our own on top of it. And why we do that to ourselves is quite a mystery, I think. So I'm glad we're talking about this because this is a case for anything, but especially around when you're trying to do something that's creative and that's something that comes from your heart and you have this strong connection to and a connection to your own identity. So mm-hmm. I can just imagine that this is a very difficult thing for a lot of people in conservation photography. Yeah.
I think it's a difficult thing too for every single one of us. I will happily be very transparent right now in that I don't think that this worry ever really goes away. Imposter syndrome is a real thing, I think, for most people at all levels. And I feel imposter syndrome or am I really good enough to be, you know, doing what I do all the time? And Joe, I remember telling you that I recently did a speaking engagement. And literally words are coming out of my mouth. I'm teaching on this webinar. And I think 150 people or something had showed up to this camera club event. And I'm teaching and words are coming out of my mouth. And the whole time in my head is another track saying, is that right? Are you really, is this good enough? You sound like an idiot. If another peer of yours heard you saying this, are they going to agree with you or disagree with you? Are you just being, does the audience really, are they into this at all? Did you just go off track? All of that is going on. Who are you to really be giving this presentation? And And it's like every once in a while, I have to really check myself and be like, no, I know my stuff.
Yeah.
I'm only talking about things that I have experience in or that I have a skill set in. But at the same time, I'm still like, oh, there's someone else who should have gotten this gig because they know more than me.
You just needed your aunt there to say, well, that's stupid. I know.
What was – okay, so that, folks, is an inside joke with me and Joe. What were we – I think I was leading a safari and you were a guest on the –
I was a guest on the safari and we were jet lagged in London and you were – had real low energy and you're like, okay, oh boy, this is going to – I don't know. Maybe I can't do this. You know, I just don't know if I'm up for this yet. And I'm sitting in the airport and I'm tired and I'm trying to figure out what the next step is. And I just don't want to get hit by one of those red double-decker buses. And and I just turned to you and I just said, well, that's stupid. You know you can do that. And you just looked at me like, what? And, and then I realized, oh, I guess I'm tired too. but yeah, it was supposed to be a compliment.
Yeah. You are ready for this, Jamie. Just go for it. Yeah, yes. I had been studying the wildlife and read. I had 5 natural history books, and there was still this fear of, well, it's my first time in Africa too,
right?
To this, you know, area, and am I going to be able to do a really good job leading these clients? So anyway, I think that we all, no matter what, as soon as we get into a position that maybe pushes us a little bit outside of our comfort zone or has us stretch ourselves a little bit in some way, this comes up. And so one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you, Joe, are ways to flip the script, because that's what I think pulls me out of it. I know when I'm feeling imposter syndrome is, how do I flip the script on this and create more productive thoughts or questions to be asking myself? But before we dive into that, I'm curious, you know, just to talk about in a non-photography world, where in your life have you maybe experienced some of this, like in work?
You know, besides like every day? Yeah. Yeah. It's, I think that I dream of being one of those people who don't have doubts in themselves. You know, there are a few people out there like that. And it's just marvelous to watch them because they go through life in a way that they're just ready to fall flat on their face and it's going to be fine. And they're just going to get up and go again. And it's kind of like that 18-month-old toddler, you know, they just sort of, they figured out how to walk and they just go for it. And they don't know that they're going to hit some curb that they can't step over or that they're going to fall down and bang their knee. They're just going to go right ahead for it. And I just would love to be one of those people. So you're right. I think everybody's got a little bit of that. But I know that, you know, there are a couple of pieces of advice that I got from your Nana and Papa, my parents. One was make sure and marry your best friend. So that was a good piece of advice. But the other was just ask, because all they can say is no. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get strung up on the yardarm. Nothing horrible is going to happen to you. So if you're not feeling like you're understanding what's happening, or you're not feeling like you're ready, or you think you need some help to be more prepared, just ask, because more mm-hmm. than likely, people really want to come to your rescue. They really mm-hmm. want to help you. I think that's something that's always stuck with me and made me realize then that it's okay to be not quite ready and not quite there. Some other advice I got by one boss that I really admired, he said, when somebody tells you you're doing something wrong, they're not telling you that you, the human being, is wrong. They're just telling you that the act that you're doing isn't going to meet the need of what needs to happen right then. And mm-hmm. so when everybody says, don't take it personally, it's like, well, how can you say that? Of course I'm going to take it personally. But there is this weird way of detaching yourself from the thing that's happening and you as a human being. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something too, that if you can take that little step, that's a big step to letting you say, yeah, it's all right for me to move forward, because it's not about me. I'm still a good person. I'm still, people want to hang out with me. I still am loved by my, you know, significant other or whatever it is. But yeah, I just stepped in this pile of elephant poo and, you know, there it is. Mm-hmm. I can't, and I'm going to have to get myself out of it. And so that's not a reflection on me personally. Yeah. And all of those kinds of things. So tell that to myself, but I would also tell that to people that worked for me. They're like, oh, this is too overwhelming. I just don't think I can do it. I don't think I have the skills. It's like, you know, I wouldn't be asking you to do this if I didn't think you could do it. Mm-hmm. Somebody else outside of yourself is already thinking that you can do this thing. If that's the case, then more than likely you can. And they'll be able to catch you if you start to fall. It's okay.
Yeah, I love that. I think that the idea of separating who you are as human from role that you are playing is kind of getting at the ability to be both insecure and brave at the same time. Because mm-hmm. you can feel insecure. You can feel like you're doubting yourself. And then you can be brave at the same time and think, okay, well, what can I do to make myself be ready? Or mm-hmm. what can I do to take 3 steps forward, even mm-hmm. though this is scary? Or what can I do? Like, you start to actually create a more productive mindset around these fears of, am I really good enough? Because ultimately, we get these thoughts in our head. Am I good enough? Is this okay? I remember driving to, this was in 2017. It was April of 2017. And Nick was driving me to a photo shoot. It was for a story that I had pitched and got accepted, but I hadn't shot it yet. So I was going to go shoot it. And it had been a while since I had really picked up a camera in any serious way. And we're driving up. I remember exactly what it looked like. And I just started bawling. And I was like, I haven't photographed in a long time. I am going to blow this. This is going to be so terrible that I can't even believe that I'm attempting to do this right now when I haven't been practicing on a regular basis for a while. And he was very kind, but at the same time, just kind of gave me suck it up, because we're going. Like, we're driving there. We're not changing plans or turning around, so you better figure it out. But in a loving, kind way. But I mean, even then, I feel like I had been externally validated by a publication saying, yeah, we want that story. That sounds great. Go get it for us. And yet at the same time, I'm completely talking myself out of it. And I think that in those moments, if you can say, well, I, Jamie, am feeling really insecure, but I'm also smart enough to figure it out, and I'm mm-hmm. brave enough to give it a shot, and I'll figure it out. I'm usually pretty resourceful, so I'm going to put those skills into this. Like, you can claw yourself back and then turn it into something that's more productive. Okay, I feel really insecure about this right now. What can I do to set myself up between now and 6 hours from now when we arrive? What can I do to kind of get myself? Can I pull my camera out and play with the buttons and take some shots of us driving that just kind of get me in the zone? Is there anything that I want to maybe look up? Can I call someone? Can I call Mel and have her just talk me off the edge and remind me? Or can I call Joe and have her tell me, well, that's stupid. And, you know, like, what can I do right now to turn this moment of insecurity into something where it's still productive and I'm still moving forward and I can move forward in the bravest way possible, even while I'm scared? And, you know, ultimately that shoot turned out great.
Yeah. Yeah. And really, I've heard you say before too, you ask yourself, what's the worst that can happen? Or what would failure look like? Oh, well, I lost my camera. Okay, what would I do? Well, I would probably go to the closest camera store and see if I could rent something. Okay, you give yourself another scenario. What's the worst thing that could happen? I don't get the shots that I needed. Okay, well, then maybe you talk to the editor and see if you could delay publication because you want to take another trip to go do this or something. And so I liked that idea of you, not necessarily in a doomsday way, but in asking yourself, well, what could make this not good? What would make mm-hmm. this challenging or scary? And then you give yourself that scenario and you realize, oh, you can figure out every solution. There's an mm-hmm. answer to it all. There's always something there that will get you out of it. And then once you had those ideas in your head, now all of a sudden everything wasn't so scary mm-hmm. because everything was a little more known to you.
Yeah.
It wasn't this dark shadow looming that you're driving into this tunnel with no end in sight, you know. It was more like, oh, okay, I do this, I do that.
Yeah. And a lot of times when you do get yourself into the, okay, well, what's the worst that could happen in that? Well, this happens. Once you start to get far enough into that questioning series, you figure out lives aren't at stake.
Right.
Or, you know, generally, they're not at stake. You are kind of hyping up these big catastrophic potential outcomes when really in the scope of being alive in the world, not that big of a deal. And often really great things end up coming out of it when you move forward anyway.
I used to tell people, because we worked at a university, so the stress level around registration time or around graduation time or different types of the academic cycle, people could be freaking out. You know, oh my gosh, this is the day that we have to tell 30,000 students they're not being accepted. And if this goes wrong, then all hell breaks loose. And then I would just look at them and say, yeah, but we're not launching a space shuttle or doing brain surgery. The lives are not at stake here. We're lucky enough to be in a situation where no one, in theory, is going to die because if something went wrong with what we do for a living. Mm-hmm. And so what's the worst that can happen? Let's talk about that. Okay. And then we'll get through that. And so that whole taking it to that next level of saying, well, what's the worst that can happen? I can handle it. Mm-hmm. I can handle it. I can handle it.
And we can apply that type of more productive questions or productive ways of thinking, like, okay, I feel this way. Well, what can I be a little bit, or what's the worst that can happen? What can I do to be a little bit more prepared? We can apply that back to the idea of at what point have I produced enough great stuff, had enough stories published, had enough images sold or whatever it is that I'm considered valid or that I've arrived. Or ultimately that concept is wrapped up in the idea that other people outside of you are judging you for what you have or have not created yet, which then you're deciding that other people are judging you on this bar. So you are ultimately limiting your own opportunities or opportunities that you're willing to go for because you've decided that other people think that you have to get to a certain level to be considered valid to do something. So that means that you're not pitching yourself to go speak, or you're not pitching a story, or you're not positioning yourself as an expert on the topic that you probably really are very much an expert at and could speak very well at an event at, and you're saying, oh, but they're not going to take me seriously as an expert because I don't have 15 stories published. I have 12. No one is looking at, oh, well, you're not really a conservation photographer because you haven't helped put a species on the endangered species list. And until you do that, then you're not good enough. No one's thinking that.
No.
And you are limiting the impact that you could be making on so many levels by thinking, oh, well, I can't try for this opportunity until I've met a certain bar.
Yeah, that I, listening to you say that, and when I hear people talk like that, I have a hard time relating to that because I have my own insecurities, but I don't have one that way per se in terms of being good enough to try something. I know that I might not necessarily succeed, but I always feel like I have the right and the ability to try. And I think when people are saying that about themselves, they're using that as a mechanism to protect themselves from failure. And because that failure is so scary, they don't want to say that they're stopping themselves. So they're going to decide it's somebody else that's stopping them. That's a really challenging thing, I would imagine, to get over. And that I would love to be able to see some literature on how do people respond to that, for instance, as a support system when somebody mm-hmm. is saying that. Because it's one thing to say, well, that's stupid. You know, that's not true. But it's another to help somebody get past that barrier mm-hmm. that they're putting up for themselves. The approach that I took when people were like that with me was that I would just give them smaller steps to achieve mm-hmm. something. So if I asked them to work on a project and they felt overwhelmed by that and they didn't think they were qualified to do that, I would say, okay, well, let's not look at the big picture. Let's just look at the next first step. Could you do this? Yeah, I could do that. Okay, well, let's do that. And then we'll come back and we'll revisit whether or not you can continue. Mm-hmm. And so it slowed me down in the sense that I had to slow myself and my expectations down to meet their level of security to move forward and had to think in a little more detail to coach them through something, but it gave them confidence along the way, each step. And then pretty soon they were so far into it, they didn't know they were scared anymore.
Well, one strategy that I think could be really helpful for us as conservation photographers, and the reason why I put the emphasis on the word conservation is because we do what we do in part because we love photography and the art of it, but also because we have these big goals with what we want that to do. Like, we want our work to have meaning and to help species or help habitats or to make a difference, to move the needle, to have people care more about nature. Like, we have these goals with that. And so I think one thing that a photographer can do when they're feeling stuck in that kind of cycle of thought, like they're holding themselves back, is ask the question, other than myself, who loses out if I don't go for this?
That's a great way of thinking of it.
Because it's not about me. Remember, it's not always about me. It's not only about my photography or my or what people think of me. I'm a vehicle for other things happening, other species getting protections, other habitats being protected, other people learning, like instilling a sense of awe in other people that they might not get if I don't do this. And there was a really great example. The story's not mine, so I won't give specifics, but I heard a story about a photographer who was really raising his hand for any opportunity he could get to talk about his project. And so the person who told me the story asked him, what makes you so brave to always be like pushing yourself forward? Because some people could look at that and think, wow, you're really pushy. And he's like, if I don't do this, the species that I'm photographing loses out. I speak for that species. So if I don't put myself forward, that species doesn't get in front of other people and audiences and potentially get protection. So it's my job to speak on behalf of that. So I will raise my hand every time.
That's a fantastic way of thinking about that, is you're in a role of advocate. Yeah, that's so cool. I love that.
And it takes the pressure off of you. Right. Like, your photography and your skills with the camera, editing and your skills at networking to get opportunities, like all of that comes into it. But ultimately, it takes the pressure off of you and puts it on the amazing thing that you're trying to accomplish. Yeah. And that can make it a lot easier to say, okay, well, what's the worst that could happen?
Right.
You know,
it just wouldn't get done.
Yeah.
I mean, and so you're already ahead of the game by the fact that you're going to try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's a great way of thinking of it.
I think so too. I think it's just such a great mindset to have.
Yes,
so,
yeah.
But I will say that in the next episode, we're going to talk about a specific story from one of my students who really leaned on that idea of what's the worst that can happen and ended up going from a situation that could have just been one that a lot of people would just put their hands up and be like, never mind. And instead, the student walked away with a really incredible opportunity, and it was 100% based on mindset and what's the worst that can happen and what's the next best step that I can take to get through this.
Good for them. That sounds great. Oh, I'm excited to hear that story.
Yay. Well, we'll talk about it in the next episode, so stay tuned for that. And meanwhile, any last words of wisdom, Joe, before we wrap up?
No.
Okay. And on that note, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening to the very end of this episode, and I want to give you a reward for the attention and the dedication that you just showed. I have made something extra special for you. It is a 45-second quiz that reveals your unique personality as a visual storyteller. See, as photographers and filmmakers, we all have our own unique creative strengths as well as some weaknesses to be aware of. And this quiz will not only reveal your creative super strengths, but also provide you with a customized action plan to put those strengths into action. You can head to jamieh.com/quiz to find out your unique storyteller personality. That's jamieh.com/quiz. I hope that you have so much fun learning about the unique personality that you bring to your storytelling.